T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trey drives on Maxey. He gets knocked around. He gets it back. Shoots the three. He hits the three. Trey Young. They did everything they could to try to stop him. And it's 94-93. The Hawks have cut it to a point with 1:59 remaining. Trey Mendes.
Trey Mendes indeed. Trey Young with 34 last night, but it was not enough, as the Philadelphia 76ers got the 5-point win, 104-99 last night. Hawks had a chance. Close it out here at home, get that win, and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for only the second time in franchise history, but it was not to be. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Saturday, our final hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad to have you with us, Ken Roundtree in the producer's chair, as we take a look at our headlines, and we start with the Hawks. Look, things got off to a really good lead last night. The Hawks had a double-digit lead in the first half. They just couldn't hang on. And then you go to the third quarter, and it was a 14-0 run to start the third by the Sixers, and it put the Hawks down 10. That's where the game was lost. You know, people have wanted to talk about this situation in the fourth quarter and that situation in the fourth quarter. The Hawks lost this game at the start of the second half. They lost the game at the start of the second half. They missed 11 free throws last night, and it just wasn't. Nothing for this team is going to come easy, all right? Everything is going to be a fight, scratch, and claw type of mentality, but thankfully I think this team has a fight, scratch, and claw mentality in order to be able to come out on top. But 11 missed free throws last night in a 5-point loss at home looms large. Here's Trey Young on missing those free throws.
Yeah, I mean, I missed way too many free throws tonight. I think I missed two or three. But I don't know. I don't know if it's anxious or anything like that. I think it's basketball. It's just hard. It's hard to win. It's hard to win. They're number one seed for a reason.
That's Trey Young last night. I talk about how they lost the game in the third quarter. You go to the start of the fourth, back-to-back possessions for the Hawks. One trip down the floor, Okongwu gets fouled, goes to the free throw line, misses two. Next trip down the floor, Bogey gets fouled, he misses two. I mean, there's 4 points right there, guys. You want to know why they lost this game, and that's not all of it. Hawks weren't able to get a good look at times. I didn't think the ball movement for the Hawks was where it needed to be. And I thought Philly used their length to defend and create some problems. When Trey, you heard Steve Holman have the call, the Trey Mendes shot, as I think it will come to be known. Trey hit a three, 94-93. That was with a minute 59 left to go. It was unreal. And then the lights go out, and the game gets halted till somebody can find the light switch. And then from there, the Sixers just, they did what they had to do. They took it. Hawks have won the first series in the playoffs. They won the clincher on the road against New York. Look, why not do it again? And I'm sure as heck not going to be the one to tell these guys they can't do it. This Hawks team is 4-2 in playoff road games this year. Game 7, Father's Day, tomorrow night in Philly, 8 o'clock. And, of course, you can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If, by the way, as soon as the game is over, if you're so inclined, head over to Facebook and you can join Nick Cale and I for a little Facebook Live tomorrow night after the game. We'll give you some instant reactions, and I hope that reaction involves us celebrating a Hawks win and this team advancing to the to the Eastern Conference Finals for just the second time in franchise history. Braves got a win last night. They beat up on the Cardinals. 9-1 was the score as the Braves did all their damage in the first inning. Ozzie Albies with a home run.
But now you've got Ozzie up there with Freeman in scoring position, and he unloads deep right field. Chop house. Here we come. So is it Jekyll or is it Hyde? Either way, this is not the kind of start the Cardinals wanted from Carlos Martinez. The Braves loving life. The offense in high gear. They lead it 5-1.
Wilson Contreras also homered last night for the Braves. Max Fried, seven innings, really looked good last night. Fried goes seven innings, a two-hit ball. That is back-to-back nights of some quality starting pitching for the Atlanta Braves. You saw Charlie Morton take that no-hitter into the seventh on Thursday night. Let's see if Drew Smyly can keep it going tonight. 7-15 for the Braves and the Cardinals from Truist Park. The Georgia native Adam Wainwright gets the start for the Cardinals. He's 4-5 on the year with an ERA just under 4. He will get the start for St. Louis. Braves have now won two straight. They're 5.5 back of the Mets, who have lost two straight. Atlanta now just a game back of the second-place Phillies in the National League East. The Braves are in New York on Monday. They've got a doubleheader Monday, as they'll play four games beginning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Mets, and they really – look, it's time, all right? It's time to start making up some of the difference here in this division. If you're going to make a run and you think you're going to be in position, then this is when it has to start. I thought last weekend the Braves were in good position to be able to come away with a, you know, to make up some ground, and they weren't able to do it. Well, now here it is. You got the division leader. You got to go on the road, but you get a chance to square off against the division leader, hoping for good things next week for the Braves. That's not to say that you can take your foot off the gas here for these final two against the St. Louis Cardinals. Atlanta United back in action tomorrow against the Philadelphia Union. Our friends Mike Conte, Jason Longshore, they'll have the call. Kickoff 2 o'clock tomorrow. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Third round of the U.S. Open has gotten underway. Play started this morning. And let's get you caught up now. You've got Richard Bland and Russell Henley both tied atop the leaderboard. They are both at 5 under. They have not, neither one of those guys has teed off today. This being played in La Jolla, California. So they are, they're a couple of hours behind us there. Paul Casey is 4 under today. He has slipped into a tie for 13th. Jordan Spieth is tied at 22nd. He is 3 under. Ian Poulter is 2 under, and also tied at 22nd. For today. So you've still got Henley and Bland, your leaders, on day three of the Open. Final round of the U.S. Open is tomorrow, but Henley and Bland, neither one. Matthew Wolff also tied for third with Louis Oosthuizen. None of those guys have yet to tee off today. As a matter of fact, you're looking at probably your first 12 guys, I guess, have not even still haven't teed off yet in the third round of the U.S. Open. So just getting you caught up on that. As we've talked about this a couple of times today, I'll get to the latest on the college football expansion. But first, I want to touch on name, image, and likeness. If you missed it from earlier, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill on Thursday that Republicans did not attend. They're having a hard time trying to find a bipartisan agreement on name, image, and likeness in Congress now. So here's the bottom line. Schools in states where state laws are in place, you're going to follow those laws. So University of Georgia, Georgia Tech, Georgia State, Georgia Southern, Mercer, you're following the laws that have been set forth by your state legislature here in Georgia. Everybody else around the country will follow the NCAA law now, which the NCAA is working to get put in place. You're talking about 19 states have a name, image, and likeness law already in effect. So those states will, or the universities within those states will be governed by their state law. Everybody else, at least for the time being, will be governed by whatever the NCAA comes up with. Congress is not going to be able to get a bill ready by July 1st for this. So there's going to be some, it's going to be some differences because not everybody's going to follow the same rules. It's not going to be huge though, but I certainly think that there's going to be some places where they'll have an advantage, such as like one of the advantages might mean that in some states, and I don't know exactly where Georgia is on this, so this may be a bad example, but in some states, they may allow you to be able to wear a logoed jersey or a logoed shirt if you're an athlete and you're profiting off of your name, image, and likeness. You're going to do a commercial for a car dealership. Maybe you can wear that logoed shirt. Otherwise, you may not be able to do that in the other state. So that's just kind of, again, it's going to be really, really small, the differences, but there will be some slight differences that may be thought of as being advantages in this name, image, and likeness. It's coming. Name, image, and likeness is going to happen. Congress can't get their act together to get it done. So the NCAA, who tries like heck not to have to rule on anything, it seems like, they have tried their best to try to stay out of this. It hadn't worked. They've had no choice but to get into it. So the NCAA is going to going to set the ground rules for the other states. Again, 19 states already have name, image, and likeness. This basically means that college athletes will be able to be paid for their name, image, and likeness being used for commercial purposes. So if you're a car dealership in Athens, Georgia, and you want to have JT Daniels represent you and have him on your billboards around Athens or around the state of Georgia, you're going to be able to do that. College football playoff expansion, the 10 FBS commissioners and Jack Swarbrick, who's the AD at Notre Dame, they met in Chicago Thursday and Friday at the Big Ten offices. They're getting down to the nitty-gritty on this plan. Next Tuesday, they're going to present the plan to the presidents and the chancellors, and then they'll go back to do more planning after that. They hope they can meet again in September, and that's when we could get an agreed-upon decision and actually have an announcement. Now, Bill Hancock says nothing's going to go into effect this year. He said it would be at least 3 years at the earliest before they could do that, but and again, I mentioned this earlier, heck of a job reporting by Ross Dellinger, who's a great college football writer. If you will Google Ross Dellinger, you can pull up the story because they spent 2 years working on this plan in privacy. Like they've kept it secret from everybody. So all these, you know, Bill Hancock and all these other people have been, you know, up touting the benefits of a 14 playoff while secretly, you know, this working group has been working on trying to come up with a plan to expand the playoffs after Hancock has told us repeatedly that there were no plans to expand the playoffs. Not only that, Dellinger's story also says that they decided last year, in March of last year, during quarantine, at the height of the COVID pandemic, that the number they would be going to was 12. So it's a really good article. You can check that out. It's Ross Dellinger's story. You Google him, and it will pull right up. Chris Goforth hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. Glad to have you along and glad to visit with our buddy Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and Locked On Hawks. We'll talk more about the Hawks and the Sixers. We'll get you ready for Game 7 with Brad. We'll do it next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Dribbling, driving, out to Gallo. Three-pointer, Gallo, bang! Danilo Gallinari hits the three-pointer. And the Hawks trail by four, 94-90.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's the voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman, on the call last night. You heard it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk some more Hawks. Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked On Hawks podcast. Brad's going to be with us. We'll get to him in just a second. Don't forget, we're still talking about your favorite TV dads of all time. If you've got a favorite TV dad, you can hit us up, at 929 The Game. We're going to get to all of those coming up in our next segment as we head out now on the waitfor.com hotline and say good afternoon to Brad Rowland. Again, you can find Brad at Peachtree Hoops and check out his podcast. It's called Locked on Hawks. Brad, it was a great start last night, but they couldn't hang on. Give me your thoughts on what you saw from this Hawks team in Game 6.
Yeah, you mentioned there, obviously, it was a much better start, kind of the inverse of the last couple games where they started out hot and kind of cooled off from there. And really, it was an offensive loss for the Hawks, in my opinion. They did a very good job defensively in the game. All the numbers were very good defensively. But in the end, aside from Trae Young, there just wasn't a whole lot happening offensively. And it sort of plagued them, especially in the fourth quarter.
What do you think Bogdanović can give this team in Game 7? Any official word yet on Bogdanović?
No official word yet. Nate McMillan talked to the media earlier today and basically downplayed, you know, didn't really share a whole lot, as he's often going to do. He was sore today, as you might expect, and we'll see what the injury report says later on. I'd be shocked if he was ruled in or out today. The Hawks have been pretty cagey on releasing information, so it might go all up to tip off, honestly, and see how his knee responds. But it'd be a big loss if he's not able to play because they don't have much behind him.
What's the key, Brad, to winning Game 7 on the road in Philly?
I think really it's going to be shot making, and that might seem very simple. But if you watch the game back, even the last few games, the Hawks just have not shot the ball incredibly well. You've had a guy or two get hot in every game, but on the whole, I think their shot quality has been better than their shot making, and if that continues in Game 7, you're in trouble. But if you have a hot game and some positive regression, you can be much more alive in that spot because, again, defensively, they did a very good job in Game 6. That was not going to be a problem, and usually it's the offense that's the strength for the Hawks in Game 6. It was the defense, so fingers crossed, that the offense sort of regains its footing in Game 7. If that happens and the defense holds up, you're in pretty good shape.
Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked on Hawks podcast. We're talking Hawks basketball prior to Game 7 coming up tomorrow night for the Hawks and the Sixers in Philly. Brad, are you surprised at Okongwu and kind of how he has emerged in these playoffs?
A little bit, just because he's a rookie and he got the late start. And normally your rotations kind of get trimmed in the playoffs, and I thought that might happen with Okongwu, but quite honestly, he's been playing himself into almost a bigger role with how much he's been effective. And especially the last few games, he's been outplaying Dwight Howard pretty much on a nightly basis on that backup center line. And I think showing a lot of the promise that the Hawks looked for in him. I think people kind of almost forgotten about, you know, how much of a lofty prospect that he was coming out of the draft, and because he wasn't placing a huge role this season. But you've seen now, especially defensively, those flashes that he has and what the Hawks saw in him as a lottery pick. And I think, you know, given that he's been able to do that, it sort of allows you to be confident in him playing. It's still a small role, but putting him out there does not worry you as much as it might have a few games ago.
Who can he be as an offensive player, in your opinion?
I think it's still probably going to be I think it's still going to be kind of a small role offensively, at least for now. You know, all the Bam Adebayo comparisons that he got coming out of the draft, I think Bam is a sort of unique offensive player in terms of how much he handles the ball and lots of dribble handoffs, that kind of stuff. I think the first step for Okongwu is just being more assertive as a play finisher, in the pick and roll dive man, being confident and on that short roll with little passes and finishes around the rim. They think he's going to be able to shoot long term at some point. Obviously, that's going to be a big question mark, because right now it's more of a weakness for him. But I think it really depends on how much he can grow on his with his skill set, basically, in the next year or two. Because defensively, he's kind of already showing what they wanted, and offensively, it's kind of always the grand question with centers, like what can you do versus what can't you do. And at some point, you kind of have to just focus on what you can do, but maybe try to broaden things out in the meantime.
Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked on Hawks podcast. We're talking Hawks and Sixers on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Look, I can tell you what the consensus is of the people that I've talked to here, the consensus of the people that I hear from on Facebook. I want to ask you, has John Collins helped himself or hurt himself with his play in these playoffs?
It's interesting. I think it's kind of in the middle. I mean, if I had to choose one of those, I'd probably say hurt himself a little bit. He had two very, very good games in a row before last night, which probably helped to bolster things. He had that awesome second half where he kind of took the game over in a lot of ways on the offensive glass, helping the Hawks lead to a win. But it's really kind of the same, at least for me, the same questions and the same answers. You know, you kind of know what Collins can and can't do. He's a very, very productive player. He's been better defensively than he's been in years past this season. But also, offensively, he's not a guy that's going to be able to go out and get his own all the time. And I know when you're talking about the stratosphere that he'd like to be paid at, that's one of the big questions is, do you want to pay, you know, $25, $30 million a year for a guy who's not going to be able to create his own offense a ton all the time? And, you know, it's interesting. As soon as they got Capella, we kind of knew that Collins' role was going to be smaller. That happened this year pretty much across the board. So it's kind of been a reflection on the regular season. Like, he's still playing very well. He's still a positive player. But if I had to choose one of those two, I'd probably say his stars fall just a tad bit.
Yeah, that dunk over Embiid, though, last night, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty
awesome.
Yes,
it was.
Look, I'm going to skip around here for a second. Let's go back to Bogey for a second. How much of his issues and his woes shooting the ball last night, how much of that was him having an off night maybe? How much of that do you think is directly related to the knee issue?
It could be both. Kevin Huerter, actually talking to the media after the game, mentioned that Bogey's been banged up the whole series, which the Hawks haven't said, but that would certainly help to explain it. He has been pretty cold by his standards. He had that, you know, as you know, that red hot stretch for about 2.5 months where he was, if not the best shooter in the world, number two to Steph Curry, perhaps. That's how good he was in that stretch. So there was probably some regression due along the way, but he doesn't look like the same guy physically, and maybe that explains it with the knee. So it's probably a combination of both things. He was due for a downturn, and also he didn't have his normal lift. I think you saw that at the free throw line where he missed two free throws in game six. That's just not a normal thing that's going to happen to him. So I think he's not 100%, obviously, even before he left the game, but he was also, you know, you kind of never know on the shot quality that he's been getting. He takes a lot of tough shots, so sometimes you're going to miss those, and that's just going to happen.
Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops and the Locked On Hawks podcast with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks and Sixers, Game 7 coming up tomorrow night from Philly. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I got two keys from last night, Brad, that in my opinion cost this team the win. They both came in the second half. We can talk about free throw shooting all we want, but there at the start of the fourth quarter when you had Okongwu go to the line, one trip down and miss two, and then I think it was Bogdanovich on the second, or Gallinari one on the second trip down on consecutive possessions, also missed two free throws. I thought, look, that's 4 points in what was a five-point game. And then that start by the Sixers in the third quarter where they went on that 14-0 run, to me, those 2 points right there is where this game was lost last night. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that makes some sense, especially, you know, this is a very strange game. The Hawks led the entire first half. Like, Philadelphia never led in the first half. And then they come out of the gate, they score 14 points in a row, and then the Hawks never led from there. So it was essentially one team in control for a half. The other team makes their run, and then they never trail the rest of the game. So you can certainly point to that 14-0 run as perhaps the biggest moment of the game, because, you know, it turned the game basically from the Hawks being ahead and comfortable to behind and not so comfortable. And the free throw shooting, definitely. I mean, throughout the entire game, you know, sometimes Capella's going to miss, Okongwu's going to miss. That's going to happen. Those guys are not great free throw shooters. But Bogdanovich, as you mentioned, missing those two. Trey missed two. Huerter missed one. Those are just points that you need to get. And in a game, especially that stretch that you mentioned, they were down two and then missed four in a row. And,
yeah,
you know, they never led. So if they had just made the free throws, they either would have been tied or potentially even up at that point in time. You don't want to overstate it, but it certainly was a factor in the game.
What happened last night in the fourth in that skirmish between John Collins and Joel Embiid? Can you add anything to that other than what we saw on the TV cameras last night?
Not really. I think those guys have just been going at each other the entire series. And, you know, when you see the same team over and over again, you get some animosity, perhaps. Joel Embiid referred to Trae Young as the point guard twice last night after the game. Just one of those things that happens in a playoff series. I think John is a fiery guy. And, you know, I'm glad it didn't go worse. I'm glad there were no ejections or anything that sort of spilled in the crowd or anything like that. But it was just one of those playoff skirmishes, and you know, I don't want to make too much of it. I will say, I thought Bruno Fernando left the bench, and if that happened, he might get suspended for Game 7. He's not going to play anyway, probably, but I wanted to make sure that was the only thing that I sort of noticed that wasn't talked about a lot, was that, oh, it's like Bruno, I think, left the bench, and you can't do that.
Being at home for a Game 7 means what for Philadelphia?
I think it means a lot. I mean, if you're trying to be positive about the Hawks, you saw in game five that when Philadelphia started to sputter late, the crowd got tight, it felt like, and they were kind of like spooked and not wanting to, you know, be terribly enthused about matters. So that's kind of the positive side. But more broadly, home teams just have a massive advantage in game seven. It's just kind of how it's always been. And Philadelphia has been arguably the team in the league, at least one of the teams in the league, that's been so much better at home over the last three or four seasons than they've been on the road. This iteration of this Sixers team has been so much better at home that it might even help them more. On the positive side, though, again, for the Hawks, they've now won twice in Philadelphia in this series. There's no fear there for the Hawks. So I think, obviously, it's better to be at home, but you know, those dynamics are definitely up in the air until the game actually starts.
Yeah, they won twice in Philly. They won twice at Madison Square Garden. I mean, I don't feel like this is a team that just because it's going to a game seven on the road that you necessarily have to, you know, feel like they can't pull it out. I think this thing is still something they can accomplish. Make me feel better about it, Brad. Give me some hope as a Hawks fan about what's going to happen in game seven tomorrow night.
I'm actually with you on this one. I think that the Hawks, if you're being objective, the Hawks are the underdog in the game. They have to go up there. Philadelphia's the number one seed. But I think it's very, very winnable for Atlanta. One thing that I have said a couple times since last night was Philadelphia's, for all of their success in Game 6, did not fix their offense. Their offense has been the problem, and they really did not score at a high level in Game 6. So that should give, I think, Hawks fans some optimism, because if the Hawks can find their own offense beyond Trae Young in Game 7, which I think is fairly likely because the Hawks are a pretty good offensive team overall this season. If they can clean that up a little bit, Philadelphia has still been scuffling, and if it's a close game late, the Hawks are set up to win that kind of game because they are the better offensive team, in my view, in this series. So, you know, broadly speaking, are the Hawks the team that I would pick to win if with no other caveat? Probably not, but they can certainly win. I think Hawks fans should feel pretty good, almost better than you might think, about having to go up there for Game 7.
Brad, appreciate it, man. Always great to catch up. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, man. Brad Rowland, check him out, Peachtree Hoops, and also the Locked on Hawks podcast. Brad has been a great friend, and always enjoy getting a chance to talk a little Hawks basketball with him here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we were asking for your thoughts on your favorite TV dads. We got a whole bunch more. Let me get through a couple of these here before we wrap up this segment. Val said Steve Douglas from My Three Sons and Ben Cartwright from Bonanza. Chris also went with Steve Douglas from My Three Sons. Joan went with Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver. Also, Jamie said favorite TV dads, Morty Seinfeld and Frank Costanza from the show Seinfeld. Craig said my favorite TV dad was Michael Landon on Little House on the Prairie. I'll be honest, as a kid, nothing could send me screaming, running out of the living room than when Little House on the Prairie came on. I absolutely hated, I know, it's awful, but I did. I absolutely hated that freaking show when I was a kid. Also, happy Atlanta sports fan on Twitter, says Carl Winslow. That's another vote for Carl Winslow. T. Ferguson says Red Foreman. Archie Bunker. Davis said second thought. No, not Archie Bunker. All right, guys. Thanks for playing along as we talked about favorite TV dads. We'll continue to take your thoughts on it if you want to weigh in either at 929 The Game or at ChrisGoForth1. But if you're a Hawks fan, we need to hear from you. How are you feeling now with Game 7 tomorrow night in Philly? And what do the Hawks need to do to get a win? We want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. 404-749-0929. Chris Goforth on a Saturday. Let's talk Hawks. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
Here comes Trey across. Trey, a long three on the way. Bang! Trae Young with the long three, and the Hawks have cut it to three, 84-81. Trae's got 31 points.
Well, Trae Young had a good night last night. He just didn't get a lot of help from anybody else. Hawks fall in game six to the 76ers by five. We're going to talk some Hawks here in this final segment. Before we do that, though, I got one more. I got a great tweet from the Kevin that I have got to mention. Ken, you'll appreciate this. We're talking about your favorite TV dads. Kevin says Ohio State being Harbaugh's father and Joseph the father of Orlando City. I've seen all that on TV. That's
Joseph.
Good. That's good. And the crypto coiner, his favorite TV dad is Tim the Tool Man Taylor. First time we've had Tim the Tool Man get mentioned here. 404-741-0929. It's time to talk a little Hawks basketball here. How are you feeling? And what needs to happen tomorrow night in your mind for the Hawks to get the win in Game 7? Let's go right to the phones. Let's get to Josh, who is up first. Hey, Josh.
Hey, listen, man. Great show. Appreciate it. You know, the thing is, and I'm sure somebody's already said Al Bundy about the greatest dad of all time on TV shows.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the thing. You know, the more that I watch the Hawks, you know, it's not that Trae Young has to go off and score 35 or 40 points. The way that he gets into the lane and creates space and then can dish the ball out to some of our perimeter guys, we've got to hit jump shots. And I'm not saying that John Collins, you know, Josh, I'm not saying Collins has to be an absolute beast. You know, he's got to play his role. You know, he's got to put up, you know, 15, 7. But it's all about Trae Young getting in there, creating space, and then dishing the ball out to the corner, the baseline jump shots. And that's how we're going to win the game. You know, I mean, that's how we're going to win. These guys got to step up. We have to hit our jump shots. And I think we can do it. And I'm looking forward to the Philadelphia fans, if any of them are listening, to eat a little bit of crow. Eat a little bit of crow tonight or tomorrow night. So appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Josh. Yeah, look, I think to Josh's point, I think that's where, you know, ideally, and I know the guy's hurt, but, man, you got to get something out of Bogdanovich tomorrow night. You know, Kevin Huerter has to continue to be able to hit those jumpers. And then when they go to the bench, Lou Williams is a guy that, you know, you can't have another 0-for night from Lou Williams either, like the Hawks had last night. 404-741-0929. Let's go to Peter, who's up next. Hey, Peter. We lost Peter.
I'm here. Peter's here.
Hey, man. What's up?
Peter. Hey, man. Listen, you just made my point. I just really believe that Bogdanovich needs to step his game up just a tad bit for us. And in addition to that, I truly believe that the next game is really a 50-50 game. This Hawks team has been really resilient, and I just don't believe they're just going to fold, right? But no, I truly believe that if we make some points, if we just score the basket, come on, Bogdanovich, give us something, man. Okay, come on, Colin, just play on fire. Okay, we get that done. I say we're coming back here to play some games here next week.
Peter, I appreciate the call. You know, I said it last night, and I really do mean this, and I don't know how many Atlanta teams over the years that we've been able to say this about, but I really feel like the one thing that this Hawks team has is I think they are mentally tough. And I give Nate McMillan credit for that, because I don't think this team was very mentally tough in January and February. But I think he's unlocked some of that out of this team. And this is a team that I think mentally is the toughest team that's left in the NBA playoffs right now. And I don't think that they're necessarily going to kind of like what Peter was talking about. I don't think this team is, just because it's game seven on the road, I don't think they're necessarily going to just fold up and quit all of a sudden. Let's go to AC. AC, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What you got?
Hey, what's going on? All right, so first and foremost, the dad. I have Uncle Phil, and I have Uncle Jesse.
Oh, Uncle Jesse. We had Danny Tanner. Nobody went with Uncle Jesse. I think Uncle Phil off Fresh Prince may be the runaway winner in this thing, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You got a thought on the Hawks?
Yeah, so on the Hawks, I just think, like, at the end of the day, if we can just convert some of these shots that we're putting up, like, we're getting great looks. We just need some of them to fall into the basket. Like, if we would have hit those free throws last night, like, I was at the game, if we would have hit those free throws last night, we'd be talking about a completely different subject right now. We'd be talking about Brooklyn or Milwaukee, but it's the little things. If we get them baskets dropped, then we should be able to go ahead and just make it on the next week.
Appreciate it, AC. And, look, it's – at the end of the day, basketball can really be a simple game, right? It all comes down to being able to score the basket. And I don't want to dumb this thing down so much to that, but I'm going to. Because for the Hawks, I think that's what it comes down to tomorrow, is just make shots. I mean, this team, we know this team can score. They've done it all year. They've scored on everybody. So just make those shots, and if that happens, then good things will happen. Hawks fans, how are you feeling about Game 7 tomorrow night and what needs to happen for the Hawks to get a win? 404-741-0929. Let's go to Eric, who's next. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What you got?
Hey, so first of all, for the dads, what I haven't heard today, Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead.
Oh,
I definitely say him as one of the fathers. Now, for the Hawks, I definitely agree with you guys. They have to knock down shots. Too many wide open threes that we haven't made all playoffs, honestly. But on top of that, I think we need to just shut down Seth Curry. Seth Curry is the engine to their offense. When he starts knocking down shots, they start getting momentum. That's the most demoralizing thing other than Joel Embiid, is when Seth Curry just starts to go off. So if we can keep him in check and knock down shots on our end, I'm more than confident that we're going to walk out of there at the W.
Thanks for the call, Eric. They got to figure out how to slow down Maxey too. You can't let that guy come in and make shots the way he did last night. I mean, you can't. You're going to have to stop that guy. I thought, and I think I read the Philly paper this morning. I looked at the Philly sports section online, and that was kind of the consensus in Philadelphia, is that, you know, if Maxey doesn't play the way he played last night, they don't win that game. I thought his play was key, and it wasn't always necessarily him scoring. It was when he scored. The buckets always seemed to be key, and it just the little things that he gave just seemed to be just seemed to make such a big difference for the Sixers last night. 404-741-0929. This Hawks team going on the road to Philly for Game 7. They have won twice in Philadelphia in this series. How confident are you that they can pull it off on Sunday night? And continue to take your thoughts on your favorite TV dads as well. Happy Father's Day to you this Father's Day weekend. The other thing about the Hawks is this cannot be all Trae Young. As a lot of people have mentioned so far, he's got to have some help. It's got to come from more than just Trae Young. Here's Trae talking about the game plan for Game 7 for the Hawks.
Just gotta go in there with the right mindset. Go in there locked in, and go in there like it's a business trip. Go in there, try to take care of business, and that's the plan.
You can't have Bogey and Collins and Gallinari and Williams all come out and shoot 2 for 16 in the first half combined. That can't happen. The one thing this series has showed us, I think, is it is a series of runs. I mean, you saw the Hawks get on that good run to start the game, and then Philly came back. They got close but couldn't quite get over the hump. And then, you know, they started out the third quarter on that big run, that 14-0 run that eventually, to me, I think that was kind of what, you know, that and the missed free throws in the second half really kind of sealed that thing for the Hawks last night. It's a game of runs. You got to be able to withstand those runs, but you also have to be able to answer those runs and snap those runs. You can't allow a 14-0 run to start the third quarter. Somebody, Bogey, Collins, Gallinari, Williams, somebody's got to come through and make a basket somewhere and kind of snap some of that momentum. 404-741-0929. I think we got time for two more. Let's go to Drake, who's up next. Hey, Drake.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I think with the father thing, of course, Uncle Phil goes without saying, that's a no-brainer. The one that's real underrated to me is Danny Williams on my wife and kids.
I'm not familiar with that. That would be underrated, I guess.
That's a very underrated one. He, a dad that keeps your life fun and happy. But with the Hawks, I think we gave that game away. We just can't go that long without buckets. Trae Young needs some help. And when we got key stops, we couldn't grab the loose ball. And that hurt us a lot when we got down.
Yeah, Drake, you know, I appreciate the call, man. But there was a five-minute stretch at one time in that fourth quarter where the Hawks couldn't score. And unfortunately, they also couldn't get a defensive stop when they needed it as well. Let's go to G. He'll be our final caller today. G, what you got, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, Uncle Phil, for me, definitely number one for me. But as far as the Hawks are concerned, man, I love this team. I love the turnaround, especially since Nate came in as the coach. Made great strides in every area. The thing for me last night that killed us, yeah, we missed buckets. We went stretches without making a bucket. But the free throws, I don't know if that's been talked about, but
oh yeah,
we missed key free throws. I think there was one point in either the third or fourth quarter, it was 80-78, and Okongwu came up, good free throw shooter for a rookie, missed two. Bogey comes right up behind him, missed two. That's 4 points off the board right there from free throws. If we made those key free throws, that was the game for us. But, of course, we need everything else to come together too. Thanks,
Jeep. Hey, man, that stretch you're talking about, that was right at the start of the fourth quarter, and I've alluded to that earlier, the fact that I think that 14-0 run to start the third, that's where the game was lost there, and then the missed free throws in the fourth, and in particular, I mean, it's a two-point game, and you're going back to the line, consecutive possessions, and you come away empty both times. I mean, that's just, you know... That's just a heartbreaker for this team. But I agree with what I guess is what G said, man. This has been a fun Hawks team. I hope they can keep it going. And we're still back here talking more Hawks basketball next week. Hey, listen, I appreciate you guys today so very much. You know, I'm struggling trying to get words out today. And, man, you guys have been awesome. I appreciate all the calls, all the interaction. Thank you so much. Thanks to Ken Roundtree for doing such a hell of a job today. I know it hadn't been easy, and I can't put words together because my mouth's not working today. But, man, I sure as heck do appreciate it. Make sure you join Nick Cale and me tomorrow night after Game 7. We'll be doing a little Facebook Live. So make sure you join us for that. And Nick is coming up next. So I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about the Hawks and the Sixers tomorrow night in Game 7, and he'll get you set up for it next. Happy Father's Day to you. Enjoy your weekend. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.